take your Bibles, if you would, tonight, open them up to the book of Romans, chapter 8. This chapter is Paul sort of completes his discussion or his instruction on the sinfulness of man and the righteousness of God that we get through Jesus Christ. So this is sort of the cumulative argument or the sum of his discussion in the first seven chapters. This chapter, chapter 8, also talks a lot about the Holy Spirit. So far in the first seven chapters of Romans, the Holy Spirit's only been mentioned twice. But in Romans chapter 8, he's mentioned 19 times in this chapter. And we're not going to cover all six of them tonight, but I want to tell you what Paul does in chapter 8 as he concludes this discussion about, again, our sin and God's righteousness. He assures believers of six things in these verses that make up chapter 8. He gives us the assurance that we can have the righteousness of God declared to us or given to us when we put our faith in Jesus Christ. He assures us that when we do that, the Holy Spirit moves in and lives in us. He assures us that we will be, once we put our faith in Christ, we will be a heir of God and take part of it in his inheritance forever, an eternal inheritance. He assures us that before that happens, while we're still here, that God will intercede in our life and take care of us. He assures us, number five, that God does have a purpose in our life and will work that purpose. And then number six, he assures us of the eternal presence of God, that God will always be with us. And so hopefully we'll be able to get through the first two of those six tonight, the righteousness of God and how we can get that ascribed to our account through the Lord Jesus Christ, and then the fact that the Holy Spirit dwells within us. The first one, the first four verses cover the first one, and then verses 5 through 13 cover the second one. And so we'll start in verse 1 tonight where the Bible says, verse 8, Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Condemnation is more than just the opposite of justification. Condemnation, if you look at the definition of the word, means a person is judged guilty because he is guilty. I'm condemned as a sinner in God's sight because I'm a sinner. Now, righteousness is the opposite of that. I am judged righteous just as if I've never sinned, not guilty, because I put my trust in Jesus Christ and God gave me or declared me righteous. And again, we've talked a lot about that through the first seven chapters or the first few chapters of the book of Romans. And so when the Bible uses that phrase, no condemnation, what it means is that I not only am not guilty because I've been declared righteous by Jesus Christ, but I have the righteousness of Christ ascribed to my record. Not only am I not guilty, but in God's sight, I'm good. Because, and we sang that song tonight, dressed in the righteousness of Christ, I stand before the Father. And so all the goodness of Christ goes on my record because I am dressed in his righteousness. I am in him, as that verse talks about. So I'm dressed in his obedience. I am dressed in his righteousness. I am dressed in his goodness. Not only am I not condemned, but in Christ I have all the things that he does in God the Father. And again, so it means not only am I innocent in the sight of God, but I am good in the sight of God. Again, not from my works. None of this comes by what I do. It comes by what Jesus did for me and what Jesus did for you on Calvary. Jesus did not walk in the flesh. He did not fulfill his desires. He said on several occasions, I did not come to do my will. I came to do the will of the Father. And he did that. Jesus did that when he walked the face of the earth, the same way that we can do it today in the power of the Holy Spirit. So we walk after the Spirit, as it says there in verse 1. We don't walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. In other words, I yield myself to him. I follow him. I walk in his steps, not the ones that I want to take, but the ones that he directs, the ones that he leads me in. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Paul wrote something very similar to this in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, when he wrote there, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Who was it? Brother Leroy, you talked about victory in Jesus. We can, as a Christian, we can have the victorious Christian life through the Holy Spirit of God that indwells us. He enables us to be free from the law or the principle of sin and death. Now, doesn't mean that sin doesn't come after the Christian. I mean, we still will be tempted to sin. Satan will still come after us and try to get us to sin. Our old man will try to get us to sin. Or that we'll be free from physical death at some time. That's not what that verse is saying. But that sin and death no longer have any dominion over us. We're no longer under its rule or control. We can live a life free from sin as we yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit. Again, we can't do that on our own. We can't do that in our own power. But claiming the power of the Holy Spirit, we can live a life free from sin. And when physical death comes, now again, I'm hoping we go in the rapture. But if physical death comes, as a Christian, it has no rule over us. We don't need to fear it, because we know to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I've told you the story before about R.G. Lee, that he used to be a pastor of a church that Helen went to down in Memphis, Tennessee. When he got older, he went into evangelism, and he was in a hotel one time, and some young thugs got on the elevator with him and said, give us your money and all the stuff you got in your pocket, we're going to kill you. And he said to him, you can't scare me with heaven. He said, if you kill me, I'm going to heaven. You can't have nothing. You can kill me if you want. It just means I'll go to be with my Lord. And that's the way we as Christians should feel. We should not fear death. I mean, we may fear the process a little bit, but we should not fear death, because it's just going to lead us to heaven. It's going to get us together with our Lord. Verse 3, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. What Paul's saying in that verse is the law of Moses, the law that God gave Moses on Mount Sinai, that law could not justify us. That law could not sanctify us because it was weak through the flesh. The law was good and the law was holy, but our flesh is weak. And because our flesh is weak, we're unable to keep the law. Therefore, the law doesn't have the power to justify us. The law doesn't have the power to sanctify us. However, what we could not do, God did for us. That verse says that he sent his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. Condemn sin in the flesh. And again, the words are important. Notice what Paul says. He sent his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Jesus did not come in sinful flesh, but in the likeness of it. He came in human flesh, but without sin, because he knew no sin, and he came for sin. Now, if you look at that word sin in verse 3 there in the Greek, it comes from a Greek word, hamartia, hamartia. And that's the same, it's the same word that is used in the Old Testament, the Hebrew equivalent, so to speak, of the phrase sin offering. So Jesus came to be God's sin offering. He came to be the offering to pay for sin. And so what the law could not do, the sin offering of God did for us. He provided the offering to pay for our sin in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. And he did that, verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Again, we talked about it. The law defined righteousness for us. Paul said, I would not have known sin unless the law came. And so the law defined righteousness. We can't keep the law. God sent someone who did. He became the payment for our breaking of the law so that God, through Jesus Christ, could declare us righteous under the law. And so we walk not after the flesh, after sin, but after the Spirit who calls us, who woos us to Christ, who brings us to Jesus. And so again, in these four verses, what Paul is trying to do is to give Christians the assurance, you're a sinner, but the righteousness that we have comes from God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can stand before him just as if we've never sinned because of the price that Jesus paid on Calvary. All right, now look at verse 5. And again, we're talking about Paul's giving the Christians the assurance of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So these verses talk about the Holy Spirit. Verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. That word mind in that verse. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the Spirit. That word mind comes from the Greek word pharoni, and it means that you have it on your mind all the time. You have it on your mind constantly. It consumes your total interest. So what that verse is saying, if you mind the things of the flesh, if the things of the flesh, if the things of the world are always on your mind, if they occupy your mind at all times, you cannot have the things of God on your mind at the same time. Okay? So they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. They have the things of the flesh on their mind. But they that are after the Spirit, in other words, if you have your mind on the things of God, that's what you have your mind on. That's what consumes your mind. That's what takes your interest. Verse 6, for to be carnally minded, to have your mind on the things of the world is death, spiritual death, separation from God. Paul's not talking about two kinds of Christians here. He's talking about unbelievers and believers. He says, if your mind is constantly on the things of the world, you're dead, spiritually dead. Because the Bible says that spiritual death is separation from God. The Bible says that unless we can't walk with God, unless we be agreed. And how can we be agreed with God if he's thinking about some things and we're thinking about other things? It's only when we think about the same things that God does that we are in agreement with him and we can walk with him. And as that verse 6 says, if we're spiritually minded, we have life. Again, spiritual life. It's only as we agree with God that we can walk with him and therefore have fellowship with him. And that's what spiritual life is, to have fellowship with God and peace. The peace that passeth understanding. Now, just stop for a minute. We were created by God. We were created by God to have fellowship with him. How can a person outside of that fellowship have any peace in his life? You can't. Because you're trying to live a life that you were not designed to live. You're trying to live a life that God did not make you to live. God did not make human beings to live apart from him. We live apart from him when we choose not to come to him. Jesus said, you don't come to me, not because you can't, because you won't. It's our will that keeps us away from Christ. It's our will that keeps us away from God. And so what Paul's saying in these verses is, look what consumes you. Look what takes your mind space and your mind time. If it's the things of the flesh, you're dead spiritually. But if it's the things of the Spirit, you're alive and you have peace. Verse 7, because the carnal mind, the mind that is fixed on the things of the world, is enmity against God. It's an enemy of God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. And so again, if our mind is fixed or consumed with the things of the earth, we're God's enemies. James says it like this, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Jesus said himself, you can't serve two masters. You can't be a friend of the world and a friend of mine, because you're going to love one and hate the other. He said, if your mind is on the world, if your mind is on fleshly and carnal things, you're not subject to the law of God. The things of the world are in opposition to the law of God. And again, Paul's not talking about a spiritual and non-spiritual Christian in these verses. He's talking about believers and unbelievers. Verse 8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Until we put our faith in Jesus Christ, there's no way we can please God. The book of Hebrews says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. And so, let me read you the rest of that verse. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so unless we put our faith in Jesus Christ, there's no way that we can please God. We are God's enemy. Verse 9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. What Paul's saying is, look, if you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not saved. You don't belong to Christ. And by the way, when we get saved, we get all of the Holy Spirit. I know there's some people that talk about, you know, the second filling of the Holy Spirit. I believe when we get saved, when we trust Christ as our Savior, we get all of the Holy Spirit there is. Now, he may not get all of us. Later on in our Christian life, as we yield more and more, he may get more of us, but we get all of the Holy Spirit when we get saved. And so if you're saved tonight, you got all the Holy Spirit you're going to get. Now, again, we may need to let him have more of us as we yield more of ourselves to him, but he'll fill up every part we give him. He'll fill up every part of our life that we give him. Verse 10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Doesn't mean if Christ be in you that the body is dead, physically dead, but it means it's dead to sin because we've been given through the Holy Spirit the Spirit of life and his righteousness. Verse 11, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. And so, the Holy Spirit quickened Christ from the dead. And by the way, our resurrection that we'll look forward to one day is based on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we would have no hope for our resurrection. But Paul's saying the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead will energize, bring to life our mortal bodies, and help us to know that we are in Christ. We are no longer debtors to the flesh. When we got saved, the Holy Spirit moved in, and when he comes in, our life should be under new management. We no longer report to sin. We no longer report to the old man. We report to the Holy Spirit of God. All things become new in Christ. Therefore, there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Paul, So again, verse 12, we are debtors not to flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. That word mortify means, it goes back to something we talked about, sanctification. It means through the Spirit, I reckon that the flesh is dead. I reckon or live in the truth of it, that the flesh no longer controls me, that the old man no longer controls me, but that I mortify the flesh and the deeds of the flesh. And as I do that, I live. I live. I can live in Christ. I can live in the Holy Spirit. And if I let the Holy, if I yield to the Holy Spirit and let Him live through me, then other people can see the fruits of the Spirit and know that the Holy Spirit dwells in me. Now, the Bible also tells us that our spirits commune with one another. I am sure that you have been in situations where I have been, where you're talking to somebody that professed to be a Christian, but there was just something that seemed wrong. There was just something that did not seem right. And what that is your spirit communing with that spirit, and your spirit telling you, hey, he doesn't have the same spirit. He doesn't have the same spirit. And so, again, we get the righteousness of God declared to us when we receive Christ as our Savior. When we get saved, we get the Holy Spirit. And when the Bible says He will never leave us or forsake us, the Holy Spirit never will. We may push Him to the corners of our life. We may ignore Him. But I tell you what, He will make us miserable as Christians. It's like, you know, guys, sometimes when you're not the husbands you need to be, and we treat our wives the wrong way, you know what happens to relationships in the home? You are miserable. You are miserable. I know none of you dare say amen at this point, but you are miserable. You are miserable. And we, one brave man among us. And that's the way it is for a Christian that pushes aside the Holy Spirit, that tries to put the Holy Spirit in a corner and not be obedient to the Holy Spirit, not follow the Holy Spirit. He makes us miserable. And I'm so glad He does, because that's the way we know that we're doing stuff that's displeasing to Him. Thank you for being here. I'm sorry I kept you a couple minutes late. Let's stand together and we'll have a word of prayer. Be dismissed.